Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James with the rejection.
Greer putting the ball on a play. He gets it out deep and Havlicek steals it.
Who's going to guard Karl Malone? Barkley. They got Akeem on Antoine Carr.
Russell will inbound at half court.
Uh-oh.
Stockton, open three. Hit it! John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Finals.
Welcome into Name Change Pending. This is your host, Brian Preece. Find me on Twitter at bpreece24. That's at BPreece24. Today we're going to be talking about the Utah Jazz season opening victory over the Oklahoma City Thunder last night, where the Jazz triumphed 195. Before I get into last night's game, I want to talk about a really big week for the franchise. And we'll start off talking about the Jazz and Qualtrics. Jazz fans are familiar with the Five for the Fight jersey patches that have been on the jerseys since 2017. The Jazz and Qualtrics extended that sponsorship through 2022-23. This sponsorship, it's been innovative, it's been successful. Over the last 2 years, it's raised over $21 million. And I think it's awesome that the Jazz have donated this patch. Well, I mean, let's not say donate. I know they're making money off of it, but this patch on the jerseys has been focused on cancer research and solving this problem that we have all over the world. So it's awesome to see. Love what the Jazz are doing, and I think it just speaks to the nature of this franchise. Next, I wanted to talk about the head coach Quinn Snyder extension. Snyder's entering its sixth season as the Jazz head coach, and he had 2 years on his original deal that extended to 2021, signed a multi-year deal. Details of this contract haven't been released, but it's awesome to see the Jazz prioritizing a head coach like Quinn Snyder, someone who's come in and developed a reputation for game planning, X's and O's, as well as player development. Over his five seasons so far with the Jazz, Snyder has a record of 227 and 183, made three consecutive playoff appearances with the team, and that's in the loaded Western Conference. So over the course of five seasons, Quinn has come in and obviously shown management and ownership what they want to see. I think Jazz fans are excited to see Quinn Snyder, knowing that he's going to be with this team. And it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. Next, we'll talk about another extension. Joe Ingles signed for one additional year with the Jazz. He had a contract that ran through 2020-21, and now that's going to go through 21-22. Ingles is going to make an additional $14 million on that new deal. And even though Joe Ingles may be taking a bench role for the team this season, he's going to continue to be a huge piece for this franchise. He played 33 minutes last night. He's someone that's going to run the bench unit, and he's shown and expressed a willingness and love for this Salt Lake community and Utah. He and his wife, Renee, have built a family here, and they've got a foundation for their son with the autism research. So it's awesome to see Joe Ingles. Again, the Jazz identify somebody that matches what they want in the franchise, and they want to keep him around. So that's great. And then the last thing, big announcement yesterday afternoon before the game. It's been since 1993 since Salt Lake hosted an NBA All-Star game. That's going to change in 2023 as the NBA's best will now converge on Salt Lake and Vivint Smart Home Arena. 30 years since John Stockton and Karl Malone led the West to victory and combined for the game's MVP. It's going to be awesome to see that event come back. All-Star Week at this point has always been something that's big in the NBA, and it's only grown over the last few years. And I just want to wish, this is me personally, I want to wish a huge thank you to Gail Miller, the entire Miller family, for their commitment to Utah and the Jazz. Without the Millers, it's well documented. The Jazz wouldn't be here today, and with the steps the Millers have taken, the Jazz should never leave Utah. So thank you to the Miller family. None of these things would be possible without the presence of the best ownership group in professional sports. So with that, we're going to take one short break, and then we'll jump into the Jazz versus Thunder game notes. Thank you for listening to this episode of Name Change Pending. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook. Just search for Name Change Pending and subscribe to get the newest episodes of the podcast and to check out photos of hosts Josh Keel, Tommy Girone, and Brian Preece as we travel the continent to do what we love, watch sports. Also, I know you've got a lot going on today, but if you could take 2 minutes out of your busy schedule to give the podcast a 5-star review on your podcatcher of choice, we would greatly appreciate it. Those algorithms can be tricky, and all I know is that 5-star ratings jump us up the lists. So thanks for tuning in, and now back to the show. As we're going through these game notes, I want to just reiterate, I'm going to do it over and over, but this is a small sample size. This is one game. So take it all with a grain of salt. Understand that it's not always going to be this good, and it's not always going to be this bad. So it's cool, Jazz fans. Calm down. Let's just take it one game at a time. We've got an awesome season coming up. In the preseason, a lot of Jazz fans were concerned with the defense. Going to practices, speaking with head coach Quinn Snyder and some of the players, they've also been, no, I won't say worried about the defense, but they understand that there's a lot of work to be done so that this team can reach some of the expectations that have been placed upon them by themselves and the media. Early on, the Jazz defense was fantastic. They forced 5 Thunder turnovers, blocked 3 shots in the first quarter. The Jazz went into the first quarter break with a 23-12 lead. It was awesome to see. Rudy Gobert was a menace near the basket, taking away all kinds of easy shots that the Thunder could have had. And then we move into the second and third quarters. Defense fell off a little bit in the second and third quarters. They allowed 62 total points in those two quarters. But then when we look at the first and fourth quarters, they allowed only 33 points. So overall, with Rudy Gobert on the floor, the Jazz were plus 13, so that's something that's awesome to see. Gobert wasn't quite as active in the preseason, and it looks like after one game that's a result of just the fact that it was the preseason. It was October, and so he was slow playing a little bit. You want to be ready for the regular season, not necessarily for the preseason. A little bit more about Rudy Gobert. He took the Thunder center, Steven Adams, out of the game early and really never allowed Adams to get going. Adams finished the game 1 of 8 from the field, had only 3 points, 11 rebounds. Adams also went 1 of 6 from the free throw line. So in a 5-point loss, that's huge. That's something you're not going to see out of Steven Adams very often. Adams is somebody who's given Rudy Gobert trouble in the past because of his size and athleticism, but Gobert came out and neutralized him yesterday. So offensively, Rudy Gobert struggled, but the Jazz were still able to outscore the Thunder by 24 points in the paint, leading 58-34. Gobert finished with 7 points and 14 rebounds on the night. He was awesome on the glass. Remember, he had 9 rebounds before the end of the first quarter. So that was good to see with Gobert. His scoring will come along. He's going to have down nights because he doesn't play with the ball in his hands very often. No reason for Jazz fans to be worried on that one. We now move on, take a look at Royce O'Neal. Royce was fantastic all night long. Everywhere on the floor he was active. He was 6 of 6 from the field, scored 14 points, was the Jazz third leading scorer. He was active defensively all night. He forced a lot of tough shots, especially in transition at the basket. I thought Royce was huge getting back. That was a concern with the defense, is how would the Jazz adjust in transition, especially with the Euro foul being eliminated in the NBA this year. Royce also finished the game with 5 rebounds and 1 steal. Really, when you look at the Jazz defense, Royce O'Neal was the tip of the spear defensively for the Jazz. Rudy Gobert was on the back end protecting the basket, but Royce O'Neal consistently took the tougher defensive matchups all night long and had an awesome night. Really great to see Royce O'Neal playing 30 minutes, getting the start for the Jazz. New point guard Mike Conley definitely struggled last night. Any Jazz fans who didn't watch the game and just look at the stat line going to be frustrated and wonder what exactly the Jazz traded for, what they gave up in the offseason deal to acquire Mike Conley from the Memphis Grizzlies. Conley finished the night 1 for 16 from the field. He was 0 for 6 from three-point land. Finished with 5 points and 5 assists. The thing about it, Conley, is he got a lot of open looks. He didn't need to force anything. He never felt the need to force anything. Conley said about his performance in last night's game, "I didn't want to be just out there missing shots. I wanted to be out there helping the team as best I can, and I just tried to be that for the team tonight." So it's awesome to see a professional in this Jazz locker room, a guy who understands when his game might not be there. He might not be hitting his shot. So instead of forcing things and trying to get that point total that he expects of himself, he just wanted to make team plays and make sure he could get the team involved and help them get a win, which is exactly what he did. Hit two big free throws down the stretch to help clinch the game. In spite of Conley's shooting struggles, it's awesome to see him in a Jazz uniform and the leadership he brings. But when we talk about Mike Conley struggling, we look at backup point guard Emmanuel Mudiay. Mudiay more than picked up the slack from Conley. Mudiay came into last night's game. He scored 12 points on 6 of 11 shooting. Maybe a little bit more shooting than I would want to see from him on a regular basis, but in light of Conley's struggles, it was great to see Mudiay come in and give them a threat at the point guard position on the offensive side of the ball. Moutier's ability to attack the basket, create space, and score is going to be important for the Jazz all season. So it's good to see him being aggressive and also moving the ball well. He's not known for his passing, but he finished tied for the team lead with 5 assists last night on top of those 12 points. So another offseason acquisition from the Jazz that, through one game, like I said, small sample size, but through one game, looks like he could pay huge dividends for the Jazz, especially based on what he's making on a minimum contract. Another free agent acquisition for the Jazz, Bojan Bogdanović. If you've listened to any of my previous shows this year, you know that I'm big on this Bojan Bogdanović character. He started the game strong, getting 3 early layups. Jazz fans expect him to come in and be a shooter, especially on the perimeter, but what I don't think everybody realizes is how strong his game is going to the basket. Thunder have a lot of good defensive players as far as length and athleticism, but what they don't have is a lot of size, a lot of weight to body up against some of the stronger players in the league, and Bojan Bogdanović exploited that early, especially against Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Bogdanović sprained his left ankle midway through the second quarter, about 6:33 left in the second quarter. But, you know, in the stadium, I was worried because he walked off the floor, wasn't putting any weight on that left leg, and I was definitely concerned. Come out in the second half, Bogdanović is starting. Looked like he was playing okay. He ended up scoring 16 points in the game. He was the second leading scorer for the Jazz. Really exactly where I expect him to be for a majority of the season. 16 to 20, 23 points a game, and the most consistent second option behind Donovan Mitchell. For Bogdanović, this wasn't his best game, but you can already see in the Jazz offense what his gravity on the offensive end is able to do for this Jazz team. Forces defenders to stay honest, stay near him, and creates an awful lot of opportunities that Jazz teams in the last couple of years haven't been able to get. As a team, the Jazz shot only 6 of 24 from three-point land. That's 25% for you math nudniks. It got a lot of open looks, and those looks are going to fall more often than not. So shooting 25% last night, a little frustrating to see, but the Jazz come out with a win, 104-95. And in the end, that's really all that matters, is get that tally in the left-hand column. They shot, for a team, they shot 44.4% throughout the game. They held the Thunder to only 38.6% shooting. So again, anybody worried about the Jazz defense falling off, if last night it speaks to what the defense is going to be this year, I think the Jazz are in awesome shape, and I'm excited to keep watching them. They, as I mentioned, they led the Thunder points in the paint, outscored them by 24 points, and they also outscored the Thunder 18-7 on fast breaks. So there were some questions answered last night defensively by the Jazz. Also, questions answered in terms of defensively in the half court and in transition. Loved what Royce O'Neal was able to bring to the team. Bojan Bogdanović played well after spraining his ankle. He's a guy who, over the last 3 seasons, have played 81, 81, and 80 games, so I don't think he really knows what taking a night off is about. Be interesting to see. It was reported that he was limping in the locker room after the game, so we'll have to keep an eye on that ankle sprain and see what Bojan Bogdanović is able to do going into Friday night against the Lakers and Saturday back at home against the Kings. So we'll take one more break and then come back and... Who's the one player I haven't mentioned today? Donovan Mitchell. Wow. So we'll take that quick break. We'll come back and talk more about Donovan Mitchell and the Utah Jazz. 1-0. We appreciate you joining us on Name Change Pending today. Make sure and jump on Twitter. Follow your hosts, Brian Priest at bpriest24, Tommy Girone at ruthless_lupe, and Josh Keel at Rise and Shout. Also, we know that you're busy, but if you could take 2 minutes out of your day and give us a 5-star rating on your podcatcher of choice, that would be so amazing. Help us move up those algorithms. I don't totally understand how they work, but I know with some 5-star ratings, the podcast shows up higher on the lists. And we want to help other people find the show, don't we? Doesn't really matter what you say for us. Maybe suggest some new verses for Ruthless Lupe. But thanks again for joining us, and stay tuned for more episodes of Name Change Pending. Welcome back. This is your host, Brian Priest, on Name Change Pending. I mentioned before the break we're going to be talking about Donovan Mitchell. What a special, absolutely fantastic special player. Is Donovan Mitchell going to be a superstar this year? Will he make his first All-Star game? Is he a dark horse contender for MVP? Is he going to make an All-NBA team? Based on the player I saw last night, I mean, all of those are possible. I think Jazz fans have hoped he would be a superstar. I think a lot of people are predicting him to be an All-Star already. Potential MVP, maybe a stretch, but I mean, then again, how many people were picking Giannis to win the MVP last year? As far as an All-NBA team, if he can play at that level or close to it, I have a hard time seeing six guards in the NBA being better than Donovan Mitchell this year. Let's just go through a stat line really quick. 36 minutes played, 14 of 22 from the field, 1 of 2 from 3, 3 of 4 from the free throw line, 5 offensive rebounds, 7 defensive rebounds for a career-high 12, 3 assists, 1 steal, 4 fouls, 1 turnover. He was plus 9 in the game. He scored 32 total points. Just an incredible effort from Donovan Mitchell. Of those 12 rebounds, 7 of them came in the fourth quarter during crunch time when the Jazz needed him most. I mean, simply put, this version of Donovan Mitchell is an absolute monster. Attending practices, talking to him after these practices, looking at what he's been trying to work on in preseason games, Donovan Mitchell spent all of training camp talking about slowing down and taking his time, especially on the offensive end. In last night's game, we never saw him out of control. He had consistent driving lanes that in his two previous NBA seasons, because of spacing issues with the Jazz, he had driving lanes he's never seen before. We got evidence of that on a couple different dunks. He was incredibly efficient last night. I can't state it enough. 32 points on only 22 shots taken. Heading into the fourth quarter, I believe Donovan was 9 of 14 from the field and had some offensive rebounds, some putbacks that didn't go down. Decreased his efficiency a little bit, but 32 points on 22 shots. Only 1 three-pointer made, only 4 free throws taken. I mean, if you want to have one bugaboo with Donovan's performance yesterday, it was that he only took 4 free throws. Guess what? He didn't need to take more than that. He was just dominant all over the court. When you look at advanced metrics, they will tell you that the mid-range shot is not ideal, isn't the best way to convert and be successful offensively. But the facts are, Donovan Mitchell's mid-range shot is absolutely deadly. It nearly can't be contained at this point. Let's look at a few different things that Donovan can do with the ball in his hands. On the pick and roll, high screen, Donovan has the ability to, Rudy comes out and sets a pick, he can turn the corner and get to the rim. We saw that based on the dunk late in the second quarter where Donovan came around a Rudy screen, split the defense, and got, I mean, just an incredible dunk. One of many highlight dunks to come this year for Donovan Mitchell and the Utah Jazz. He can find Rudy on the slip after that screen, or he can make a cross-court pass for an open three. We saw him do that for Royce O'Neal a couple of different times. Or if he's not finding Rudy on the slip or, you know, passing cross-court for an open three-pointer, we saw in the final offensive play of the game, Donovan can come around that high screen. He got Steven Adams backpedaling because you have to defend the basket with Donovan Hill. With Donovan Mitchell coming downhill like that. And then Donovan stops on a dime, pulls up, and hits a 16-foot jumper to seal the game for the Jazz. He's incredible. He's got so many options offensively. I really think, you know, small sample size, but we look at that first game of the year, Donovan could make a bigger jump than anybody is expecting. If Donovan can get up near 30 points a game, he scored 32 last night. As I mentioned, again, only 22 field goal attempts. This could be a special season for the Utah Jazz. So up next for the Jazz, they're going to take on the new-look Lakers at Staples Center in Los Angeles Friday night. Tip-off Friday night scheduled for 8:30, and that game is going to be broadcast on ESPN. The Lakers will come in with a record of 0-1 after they lost their opening night matchup to Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers. Let's see if the Jazz can get 2-0 on the season. Thanks for joining us on Name Change Pending.